Hey there, everybody. Welcome along to another Tech Talk UK. It is Sunday, the 24th of March, 2024. It's very sunny here in Suffolk. How about in the centre of England, Mr. Yates?
It's very bright and sunny. My solar panels are having a great time of it.
Excellent.
So far, I've sold 3 kilowatts back to the network, so that's a whole 45p.
It's rated.
It'll only take about 40 years to make back the cost of them, but there you go. Joking apart, it's a lovely morning, and the biggest problem I've got sitting here recording right now is that I'm in a south-facing room, so it's going to get hotter and hotter, I think.
Yeah, lovely. It's not, I mean, just open a window if you're hot, because it ain't hot out there, that's for sure. But
I've got a window open and it's still quite warm.
Wow.
But that's the south facing room, isn't it?
Well, there you go. I've just booked a holiday, actually, just booked a campsite, and interesting how it's quite interesting actually how costs have risen. We all know it from every sort of walk of life, basically. And this campsite now has a situation where in the winter up till April, October till April, they charge cost price for electricity on the plugins, and even in the summer, they reserve the right to charge if you use more than 10 kilowatt hours a day. To be fair, you'd have to go some to use 10 kilowatt hours in a
fair bit of power,
yeah,
isn't it?
That's a lot of power, basically, in a caravan, which is only really running your fridge and maybe your microwave occasionally, charging a few devices. So can't imagine anyone would ever use that. But in the winter, of course, you could plug in a 1 kilowatt electric fire and, you know, you could easily use that. 10 hours would use the whole lot up. But yeah, very fair solution, I think. But I mean, some of the sites that we used to pay 30 quid a night on are now 50 plus.
So where are you going to then?
This time we are off to not too far. I think the older I get, the less distance I want to travel. I was looking at a site last night. Sites seem to be much cheaper, for example, down in Cornwall. Because A, there are millions of them, literally millions of them. So that obviously has a downward pressure. And I was looking at this great site and, you know, it was much, much cheaper than anything in the lakes or anything. But basically it was telling me it was in Truro, near Truro. And it was telling me anything from 6 hours 30 to 7 hours 50. And I thought, I just can't do it. Do you know what I mean?
It's a long drive, isn't it? You'd need to stop on the way, wouldn't you?
Towing a caravan. And the problem, when you had a motorhome, it was pretty easy to stop halfway for the night and get going in the morning. But such a faff setting a caravan up, you know, even so.
Do you want 4 days travelling? Well,
that's the point, isn't it? That is the point. It's 4 days out of your 14, and that's the argument. My argument for never having been abroad, generally for holiday, is that I don't want to waste a day to a day and a half each end of the holiday in airports. And that would literally do my head in trying to get, you know, you have to get to an airport like 2 hours before, don't you, or something?
I don't think I've ever been very persuaded by that argument, because if you drive to the Lake District, you lose an entire day driving. But I know what you mean, though. It's not part of the holiday as such, is it, really?
Yeah, I mean, I think even towing a caravan, I find the trip up and the trip back is definitely a waste, because you're peed off that you're coming back. But the trip up is part of the holiday, without a doubt.
Yeah.
You know, and you can vary your routes and things. The problem is we quite like cycling now with the old Lecky bikes. And even though they are Lecky bikes, you know, even then, some of the hills of Wales and the Lake District are just a bit too much. So I mean, having said that, this place near Rutland Water is still 500 quid. You know, for 2 weeks, and it's a hell of a lot, because in this, essentially, we've been here before. It's in someone's back garden. It doesn't have the water on the pitch that we normally like. So you have every day or every couple of days, you've got to roll this massive bloody barrel over to the thing and fill it up. And you know, it's just a bit of a faff, really. But she loves it, so. Interestingly enough, Jackie is going abroad for the first time this year for a week.
I was going to say to you, wasn't Jackie going abroad?
Yeah. She is, yeah. So first time ever she's going abroad. And luckily she doesn't listen to this, so I can say anything I want. Kind of half hoping. She sort of loves it and does that every year. And the caravan will become less of a... less of an essential for us, I think, then, to be honest. A caravan is quite a waste, because for 6 months, well, probably for nearly 10 months of the year, it does nothing. It sits in a storage costing you £500 a year.
Yeah, I suppose that's true, isn't it?
You know, so it's a funny old thing, really. But then, you know.
So where is Jackie going abroad? That's the big question.
I guess I should know, shouldn't I? It's an island. Yeah, it's an island. It's not the Isle of Wight. It's Menorca or Majorca. Yeah, right, yeah. One of the two M's. You know, I said if you go to Ibiza, I'm in, basically. But I don't have enough holiday. In fact, from Tuesday we can buy holiday. And I've worked out that if I buy 5 days holiday, what they do is they take it off you monthly. I guess that's probably more tax efficient if they do that. I worked out that if I book 5 days extra holiday, my pay rise that I've just had, I'd still be earning the same, in other words. So that with the pay rise would pay for those extra 5 days. So I'm giving it due consideration.
Yeah, maybe an extra day or two would be worth having, wouldn't it?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, I might just book two or three, as you say, and then because I have these 3 day weekends, which I'm very grateful for. It's easy enough if you book 3 days. You've near enough got a week at the end of the, you know, you near enough. If you move a day off, maybe you've got a whole week. Yeah. For either side of a weekend. So yeah, pretty cool. So I think we are going to, I mean, again, we talked about medical tech quite a bit on the last two shows, but we are going to cover it again because, A, I think people probably still are interested. I know everyone that contributed to the donation ask recently, they all know that that I'm buying the Libre 2 sensors with them. There's another sensor out there which is in competition with that, I guess you'd say, from a company called Dexcom, D-E-X-C-O-M. And they do lots of different ones, and I've never been interested in them because up to the G6, which was the nearest to the Libre 2, I mean, it was a hideous-looking thing, stuck out like a three-quarters of an inch off your arm. You had to... it came in two parts, a sensor and then a clip-in transmitter, and it all felt very... very Heath Robinson, to be perfectly honest. So I stayed away from that. But they bought out a G7 reasonably recently. These things tend to get approved and then they take about 2 years to come to market and possibly even longer to come to the UK because they're nearly all American companies, of course. So this G7 is roughly the same size as the different shape, but roughly the same size. And it has a few advantages. I got one free, by the way. Most of these companies, I should have probably told you this before, shouldn't I? Most of these companies will give you one free one if you're type 2, because they know you can't get funding for it. So they will give you a freebie. Both Abbott and Dexcom do that. There's a couple of problems with the Dexcom. Number one is allegedly it doesn't stay stuck on for long and you need an overpatch with it, which I've never, ever needed for the Libre. I have no problem. As long as you shave the part of your arm that you're going to put it on a couple of days before you put it on, just shave it and get it as smooth as a baby's bum. And then you need an alcohol wipe, which doesn't come in the box, which is crazy, in my opinion. Yes. You need a sort of £4 box of alcohol wipes off Amazon or whatever. Give that a good wipe. Let it air dry. Don't touch it after you put the alcohol wipe on. I find the Libre 2 sticks like the proverbial to the blanket, to be fair. And when you do take it off after 2 weeks, I took one off yesterday. I mean, you do have to really tug at the bloody thing to get it off. And you can also use those alcohol wipes to clean up the glue that's left on your arm. So they're a good investment, generally speaking. So yesterday I put a new Libre 2 in. What I basically do is every 2 weeks swap arms because you can't really lay on these, to be perfectly honest. You can put them under the arm, so you could lay either side. But I tried that with my first Libre. and it basically, it's a bit flabby under my arms. If yours aren't, then you'll be fine. But if you're a bit flabby under the arms, I found that it went in and the adhesive went on a sort of fold in the skin when you move your arms. And I thought that wouldn't stay on. It did, in fairness. But I now put it kind of on the outside of the arm where I always have worn them. And when it's under the arm, actually, it's a little bit less likely that you'll knock it off on a door frame or whatever. But anyway, I've settled with the outside of the arm. You'll see loads of videos on YouTube where to put it. But make sure the skin is smooth and clean and that sort of thing before you start. And you should never put it over a tattoo or anything like that. So probably. And of course, the reason I'm saying I should have told you about the free one is it may well be the case that you might need to give one a try soon.
Yeah, unfortunately so. I 10 days ago I went for a medical, and cutting a very long story short, they asked me all sorts of questions and then said, it looks like you're diabetic from your blood test. So yeah. Tomorrow, in fact, I'm going to see my GP, but I think, to be honest, it's probably worth recounting really the sort of question they asked me. They were asking me, like, do you have to get up and use the loo in the night? Well, yeah, I just sort of assumed it was probably my prostate getting worn out.
Yeah.
Having had the delights of a prostate examination, I'm happy to say that my prostate seems to be fine.
Lovely.
However, my blood sugar doesn't. And the other thing as well is when I stop and think about it, I drink quite a lot. And so if any of you out there are getting up to go to the loo in the night and drinking quite a lot, it probably is worth getting your blood sugar checked. So at the moment, I'm sort of in a bit of a state of, not flux, like probably the real answer is a state of a bit of shock, really. But so you read about it, and it does seem to be quite a tricky thing, really, because it reads as though everybody's way of dealing with this turns out to be different. Now, of course, at the moment, I don't really know. The only consistent thing is get more exercise, which probably means 45 years of doing a desk job has finally caught up with me. But I've tried since then to make sure I get a walk every day, because most days, to be honest, most of the time I would get a walk would be at the weekends, but I'm trying to make sure it's every day now. But of course, that's not easy if you're doing a desk job. But at least the summer is now coming, so there is the prospect of it being a bit more pleasant to walk in the evenings, and maybe it will stop raining one day. Actually, it's not fair, is it? It has stopped raining today. But of course, the real problem with it is that there's now an awful lot of information to take on board, and I don't imagine it's going to be a barrel of laughs, quite honestly. So, you probably should have told me about this, and probably I'll have to go back and listen to the last two podcasts a little bit more intently, because it was all a bit sort of academic and theoretical before.
Yeah.
whereas now, all of a sudden, and rather unwantedly, it's become rather essential that I have a proper look at it. So, that's what I've really been doing the last week. So, I've sent off for a free Libre 3.
Right.
And it would have arrived on Friday were it not for the fact that Parcel 4 sent me a text message saying, "Where do you want it then?" And I'm going, "Well, I wasn't in on Friday. Deliver it to my post office." But they then put a note to the card to the door saying, "We'll deliver it on Monday." What they didn't tell me is where they're going to deliver it on Monday. So it's either going to come here on Monday or else. And I'll have to be in case they won't deliver it. And probably I'll find out it's at the post office and go and get it on Tuesday. But
at least you can walk. You can walk to the post office and get a few more steps in.
Just about. Yes, it'd be about 40 minutes there and back.
I mean,
so yes, it's a down a dual carriageway. It's not a very pleasant
walk. Don't go that way. Find a way. There'll be a way. Get OS maps out. There'll be a way probably to get to it. I would go as far as to say I've had this now for, let me go into my Libre app, I've had this now, thanks to you guys, for time in range. I've now had it for 31 days. Yeah. There's been quite a move lately from, you'll find when you get it, the time in range has become almost as important as the AC1 result. Obviously, AC1 tells you what your blood has been for the last 3 months. And certainly from the numbers you shared with me, I would be Delighted but surprised if you didn't, if you weren't classed as diabetic.
Yeah, I would as well.
And interestingly enough, have you joined the health thing, Ted's health thing on MeWe yet?
Yeah, I have. Although I must admit, I've just been ludicrously busy at work the last 3 weeks, really. So yeah. I've joined it, but I've not really been very active at all on it.
And I must admit, I haven't read it for a week, but ironically, from Ted's numbers, certainly in the early days of him suddenly going for lots of walks and things, he's very close number wise to not to, for me to say he needs to get a second opinion, because I'm not convinced he has got it. His morning figures were very, very low. What you'll find that the Libre thing gives you, and bear in mind, I've never experimented with all the stuff that you can send to a doctor. I always thought that you could actually view it yourself, but you can't. You need your doctor's practice ID, and then they get all the information. But unless your doctor is massively better than mine, it'll be pretty pointless, because if you're NHS, you're going to get pumped off to some nurse. And if you're lucky, if you are out of control, what you need to do is ask to go under the hospital consultant for at least 3 months to get it under control. Because genuinely, if I hadn't have insisted on that back in the day, I would be on insulin now, no question whatsoever. Because I even with the consultant, I came very close to it, and it was only a second tablet on top of the metformin that saved me from that. And but I would go as far as to say that, and I certainly confirmed this in the last few weeks, that the going for a walk, if I go for I've done it 3 times now, I've gone for a five mile walk, very, very gentle walk, taken 2.5 hours to do 5 miles, so lots of stopping and taking photos and looking at things, so nothing strenuous in any way, shape or form. Well, we are fairly flat around here, to be fair, so there's not much up and down in that sort of 5 miles. But if I go for a 5 mile walk, there's a shop halfway on my favourite one, and they sell these amazing sort of 9-inch cheese topped white bread rolls, which probably, the cheese is fine, but everything tells you you shouldn't really eat a 9-inch thick cheese, a white bread roll, because the carbs in that are absolutely horrendous. I have eaten one of these rolls in the past while sitting down and doing nothing, and my blood sugar has spiked close to 15 and stayed up there for a sort of an hour and a half, 2 hours before it's come down. I have now twice eaten it on a 5 mile walk, so probably done 2.5 miles before it and 2.5 miles after it. It doesn't even go out of the green zone. It is absolutely magic.
I got two problems with that. One is that I don't think my arthritis would actually let me walk 5 miles. And second is, I certainly don't easily have 2.5 hours that I could go for a walk, except at the weekend, when, yeah, that's not an enormous problem at the weekend. But it's a lot of changes, I think, isn't it?
I think this is the sort of thing you gradually come to terms with, because ultimately, if you don't make that time, then there'll be no point in carrying on working at the rate you're working, because you won't be able to, you'll be much iller later in life. So I think you come to that point. I now go, it's really quite pleasant. I now, and obviously the time of year has got everything to do about this. I ain't going to be doing this in the middle of December. But I get to work. I start work at 5 to 9, but I get there now for 8, and I go for a roughly 2 mile walk before I start work.
I think that's the sort of thing I can do. I mean, I can't. So I've just leaned on the microphone, sorry, chaps. I think, to be honest, that it's kind of bad timing in a way. None of these things have a good timing, of course. No. But I think I'm probably within 12 months of being able to stop working anyway. And there's a big project that I'm working on at the moment, which is why I'm so busy. I want to see that one through, and then that probably is enough for me. Good. And the problem with that is, of course, and that's 9 months away, and I need to do something about it now.
Yeah, yeah.
And that is an issue. So that's something I'm going to have to to work my way around. And it's also true as well that if I start doing a half-hour walk here and a half-hour walk there, yeah, it'll be easier to do a three-quarters of an hour walk in a few weeks' time.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And I think that's the way. I think if I tried to walk 5 miles, I physically couldn't right now. But, you know, that doesn't mean it can't be achieved, and that's obviously what I'm going to work on, isn't it?
Yeah, and I mean, I was only making the point that if you fancied a huge bag of chips and you could do a five-mile walk, you could actually get away with it without going up. The other thing is by looking at time in range, because what you don't want to do is focus too much on the 8.2. I mean, at the moment, the Libre is telling me I'm 8.2, and the Dexcom is telling me I'm 8.
Tell me, Kev, where should I be on that scale? Because I should be on the other scale.
That's the point, really. You shouldn't worry about where you are on that scale too much, because if I go into my Libre, there's not enough data in Dexcom yet, but if I go into my Libre and asked it to give me my estimated A1C, which obviously is just estimating it. My last one a few weeks ago was 7.4%, or 49 over mole, if you prefer. And it's telling me that if I carry on as I am at the moment, which is my intention, I will be 6.6 or 49. I was 7.4 or whatever that is, 56, I think, something like that. I always do it in percentage myself still. But they don't relate to the figure that I'm reading at the moment of 8. So what the app does is it tells you that you're in range between 3.9 and 10. Now you can change that if you wish, but that is the international sort of standard for being in range. So that being said, I've been in range in these 31 days. I have been in range for 86% of the time. And the other 14%, I was between 10.1 and 13.3. So I have worried way less since I've had this in about going to 14, for example, whereas previously I would have panicked like crazy going to 14. But the point is, if you're 86%, they reckon anything over 70 is great. So it gives you that sort of leeway. Now, in the 31 days I've had this, the estimated AC1, and you don't get that for 14 days, so you'd probably need another sensor after that. If you the next sensor is going to cost you £46.50 without VAT, so it's not too bad. You'll need another sensor to get that, but mine will check. When I had a couple of bad days, it went to 6.7, but then just lately I've been really good, so it goes back to 6.6. To put this in perspective, my average steps in Apple Health for the last 7 days, and that includes today, so far less than 1,000 steps because I haven't been out yet, my average is 11,538, and I have a 4 week average of 11,300. I used to, in fact, it's telling me another thing here, 12,412 for an average of 7 days. I don't quite know how that differs from the one I just said, but there we are. There's lots of info in here. I finally got my yearly walking to 500 more per day than I was doing in 2023. But I don't think 2023 was a particularly great year, to be honest. So, and this is where I think it's made the difference for me and got me to that point. And I think there's two things I've done, really. I've combined it with making sure I eat 30 grams of fibre every day, and I do feel considerably better for it. One thing I must actually correct myself on is, you'll remember several times on the show I've said, oh yeah, look at a Fibre One bar if you fancy a sweet treat, because they're 11 grams of carbs, which isn't terrible anyway, but you can take off the 5.9 grams of fibre. That was completely wrong. That is not true. The 11 grams of carbs shown on UK food information labels already takes off the fibre.
Yeah.
that comes as an absolute shock to me a few weeks ago, and I've spent a lot of time researching it. Basically, in the American labels, you'll see the words total carbohydrates. And in that case, if your label says total carbohydrates, if you're eating an American product or something, you can then take the fibre off and that will give you net carbs. But the UK one, quite sensibly, I guess, now I know, already does it. So I have been having more carbs than I thought. But it's once you start to learn all this, the only thing you've got to learn, actually, my advice to you would be, based on everything I've learned, my advice would be only worry about carbs. That's difficult if you've got to lose weight, because at the moment I don't need to lose weight. I've dropped a sort of trouser size in the last 3 or 4 years anyway, because I've gradually cut down the amount of calories that I eat naturally. So I don't lose. So it's really hard. But for me, my lunch the other day was 2 jumbo sausages from the chip shop. And that is perfectly healthy for me at the moment. There are 0 carbs in those 2 sausages.
You're definitely depressing me.
It was a pretty boring meal, I can't lie. But then equally, the other day I had, I don't know, 10 or 12 chips on a plate with me dinner. And I didn't go for a walk afterwards or during the time I was eating the chips, and it didn't go above 10. And the other thing is,
I'm not a chips addict, so that's a start, I suppose.
Yeah, you'll find is, so in terms of answering your question, what number do you need to be? Well, what you'll find is the Libre sends you a thing every minute. It'll send them every single minute. You'll be charging your phone a bit more often as well, but every single minute it sends it. So mine is currently now saying 7.7, and the Dexcom is saying 7.2. When I compared a little while ago to a blood glucose thing, I mean, they're both incredibly accurate, given that both of them haven't yet been on for 24 hours. The first 24 hours, by the way, after you put it in, disregard it completely. Don't worry. Don't even look at it, really, other than curiosity, because they're very inaccurate on the first day. The other thing that Libre undoubtedly does badly, I suppose you'd say, it undoubtedly is brilliant up to about 11-ish. But if that read the other day, it read for me 15.4, and I thought, oh God, and it was still going up. You've got an arrow that points up. It goes up, slightly up, slightly down or down. And, you know, it's rising quickly. And this was 15.4 and rising quickly. And I'm thinking, even though you shouldn't panic about a figure like that, you know, it's high, very, very high. And I looked at that, went immediately and took a blood stick, and it was 12.4, not 15.4. So the Libre seems to get wildly, wildly inaccurate above there, which is why I think the Dexcom might be more accurate when you go high, which is kind of, in a way, it's what you want. But if you start on metformin and any other drugs and start doing lots of exercise, what you really want is the alarm that gives you a warning if you go too low. But if you ever have a low, you'll know anyway. And I don't think you'll have to worry initially about going too low.
Well, it doesn't sound like it, does it?
Generally. The Dexcom has got a few advantages over over Libre already, and I've only had it in less than 24 hours. One, you can put a widget on your iPhone screen to give you a continuous reading. The Dexcom sends every 5 minutes, by the way. It also works on the Apple Watch, although there's no complication. So for me, that doesn't really make it that useful. And it doesn't seem to work very well at all. Like right now, it took ages to read it. And all it's doing is reading it, obviously, off the iPhone. But without having a complication, I don't find that particularly useful. All of those things you can do with the Libre, but you need to faff around with up to 2 or 3 different apps to share the data around. Abbott are very, very tight about letting us use our own data. They get a lot of stick for it online. Dexcom are much more friendly. The biggest problem with Dexcom G7, however, is that for 30 days, use, even on a subscription, it's £140 a month, which is obviously a lot. So if
I've got an expensive new hobby, is what you're both
absolutely saying. Absolutely. I have essentially come to terms with the fact that if I don't want to have bits of me, toes and fingers and bits falling off in 10 years' time, I need to pay for these, whether I can afford it or not.
And that is definitely your choice. Now I look back at this, I think to myself, what an idiot. But my grandmother actually had half her leg amputated thanks to diabetes. So, yes, you're not joking. It certainly could happen. And I think I'm still at the stage of being a bit in shock, really.
That'll take a few weeks.
I read stuff, and it sort of partly goes in not very well. I think, well, it's probably a case that I'll just have to get my head around it and get used to it. But it obviously needs addressing properly, doesn't it?
It does. I'm 14, 15 years in. In fact, I don't even remember my diagnosis. 14 or 15 years is what I always say, and it may be 16, 17 now, for all I know. But I will say this, it has not drastically affected my life at all. I would guess
that the key thing now is for me to get it under control as fast as I can. And that isn't going to be easy because, as you rightly say, I've got to lose some weight. But, I have to work on that one.
Yeah, the doctors will tell you that is the most important one. I will tell you that if you can somehow reduce your carbs drastically... First thing you want to do when you get the Libre is have 2 or 3 days, eat everything you normally eat and see what happens when you eat it.
I think it'd probably be a disaster knowing what I like eating. I'm going to have to learn a lot more about what's got carbs in it.
So would you think a banana is good to eat?
I guess a banana's quite sweet, so that would be what would put me off. But tell me now it's full of carbs instead, aren't you?
Certainly when I learnt, when I was diagnosed, bananas were sold to me as a great idea. What you've got to be careful with is they are better than a Twix, right? And this is the point, really. They're better than a Twix.
This is what's very frustrating, because I just don't eat sweets.
That's fine. That's good. I mean, the weird...
But I'm through the state I'm in. That's the thing. So that's what's not good. I can't give it up because I don't eat them anyway.
So I've done a little experiment, and a large, reasonably ripe, not green, not mouldy... Basically, bananas have more sugar in them when they are ripe than when they're not. So if you get them on the green side, they're less. But generally speaking, a banana is a terrible idea. Put it this way, a large banana spiked my blood sugar for higher and longer than a twin extra Twix did. Because what a Twix will do is the Twix has got lots of other problems, right? The banana will fill you for a good hour or so, if not two or three. The Twix will keep you happy for 20 minutes, then you'll be hungry again. So it's really weird, but you've got to find out what it does for you, because then a couple of times I've been busy at work. We're lucky enough to get free oranges, bananas and apples in the room. So I have thought, geez, I've got to do at least another hour here before I can go for me walk and lunch. So I go and have a very small, quite green banana, and that sometimes doesn't even go out of the green side. I've been eating grapes in moderation. That's kind of the point. First couple of 3 days, if I was you, I would eat everything normally. Do not worry about the figures. Ignore the first day. Ignore the first day.
You've got to find out what it does, haven't you, I suppose?
Yeah, because it may not affect you. Everyone's individual. Generally speaking, the thing I've learned really is carbs are the thing, and that's the bottom line. I'll give you an example. Yesterday, obviously, we were off. We did our 5-mile walk. And then around 5 o'clock, I said, I don't fancy anything in the freezer. I'm going to pop to Asda and get something for tea. So typically, that would be, I fancied gammon. So gammon steaks. And normally, you'd have that with a handful of chips and beans or whatever you'd have with that. But instead of that, I got a couple of cheap bits of steak. and I had a huge, well, it wasn't huge, it was thick. I had a big chunk of steak, a decent size gammon, and a big salad with it, and didn't have it. And basically, on that plate last night, there was essentially zero carbs. There was a few carbs in some of the salad, I guess, but there's no carbs in meat, generally speaking, at all. So they cannot spike your blood. You'll sometimes get a weird thing. So whenever I wake up, I woke up this morning. The first thing I do is look at the reading. It was 6.1, which is pretty damn good. If it was correct, don't forget this is measuring interstitial fluid, not blood. And if you ever do a comparison to a blood meter, you want to do it 15 minutes later, because blood is 15 minutes ahead of interstitial fluid, and still there's inaccuracies between them. My Dexcom is now telling me 6.8 and dropping, not rapidly, but reasonably fast. My Libre is 6.9, so they're literally within a 0.1 of a mol and steady. So it is impressive how accurate these are, although I'll say one thing quickly here. Dexcom allows you to go and do a finger stick and add it to Dexcom as a calibration reading, so that next time Dexcom takes that into account. And I imagine the more you do of those, the more accurate it's going to become. Unbelievably, Libre does not allow you to do that. Quite shocking, really. Again, you can do calibration on Libre, but you've got to go through third-party apps. I am going to look into that again, because my choice is going to be simple once the donation money runs out. I've got enough for another 3.5 months, I think. So that's cool. Well, that's Libre. If I go Dexcom, then I haven't, because it's obviously dearer. So I'm going to have a choice. I'm going to fund... I've basically committed myself to £100 a month, essentially. When I got the iPhone 15 Pro, I didn't have the money, obviously, for that. So Jackie, who's now my funder, was very kind enough to buy it. And I basically bung her £100 a month until it's paid off, which is actually next month, I think. I'm using that money to carry on. So by the time I get there, I think it's another couple of months or something, but then I'm done. And I'm going to use that £100. So what I've decided is, if I really like the Dexcom, and I do at the moment, I will move to Dexcom, but I won't wear it for... because the Dexcom, I left this bit out, the Dexcom only runs for 10 days, the Libre for 14.
Which is why you end up
costing you £140 a month. And if you buy individual sensors, they're over £50 each. So what I will do is I will wear it for the first 10 days of a month, not wear it for the next 10 days, and then put it back in, put another one in. So I'll wear two a month rather than three. I'll be covered for 20 out of the 30. And to be quite honest, I think that will work perfectly well for me. And be quite a flexible way of doing it. Obviously, the more data you put into that, the more you can see. And there may come the point where I should be able to know, you know, and not even need to wear them. But I've proved time over time that as soon as I don't wear them, I make really bad choices. The other day, for example, I was desperate, absolutely desperate for some chocolate. Got to the machine and thought, I'll just check what it is. And it was already sort of 10 from lunch. And I just went to the fridge, got out my Fiber One bar, which hardly spikes it at all for me. And obviously gives you a nice boost of fiber. And I had that instead. I had tiny, instead of a double Twix probably, or something like that, you know. Had I not had that in, I wouldn't have known what the number was. And I would have gone ahead and had the double Twix. It's little things like that that add up, you know, over time. Incredibly grateful to the listeners, obviously, for the donations, and absolutely brilliant, really, that they've carried on. I'm even still getting a couple of quid here and there, you know, from people afterwards. So I don't want anyone to think that I won't ever accept one outside of that time. It's just that we're not going to talk about it except once a year. But I'll leave the link in the in each show notes, just to not really notes, are they? Let's be honest.
I mean, I think the other thing that I realised, well, the first thing is I thought, well, I've got a set of Fitbit scales, you know, they should help me lose a bit of weight. And I went to them, and the honest truth is that the batteries had gone flat. So I put some more batteries in there, got on there, and discovered that I'd had a miraculous diet and lost 20 kilos in a week.
Brilliant, brilliant.
Which, amazing. I mean, it's probably exactly what I need to lose, to be absolutely honest, but there you go. So I thought, well, this is very odd, so I'll take the batteries out and reset it and everything else. Still 20 kilos out. And if you Google, a lot of people have had this problem with the Fitbit scales, that they last for a few years, and then all of a sudden the readings become a complete pile of rubbish. I mean, to be honest, if I had lost 20 kilos, it might be a good thing, but it wasn't really what I wanted to see, because it sort of kind of undermines you. So later today, I have a bit more tech coming. I've got some, I think they're Withings scales, which integrate with Apple Health.
Yeah.
And the cheapest place of those, I'm sorry to say, Kev, was Currys, much to my surprise, who by very, very happy circumstance, I identified the ones I wanted, and starting yesterday, which is when I was looking, they got £20 off. So I was very pleased about that. So they're coming later today. So I think the best, knowing me, the best thing I can do is have as many medical gadgets talking to me and telling me things that as I can, because that is probably the best way of getting my head around it and getting me under control.
And I mean, agreed.
Like I've said on the previous two shows, you know, I've got this thing measuring my blood pressure, which. Very interesting. Although it only does it every couple of hours, it's noticeable the sorts of things that make it spike. But even so, it shows my blood pressure's okay. So I just have this new thing to fight now, don't I? Which, it'll be a little bit of a challenge, and then we'll see how that goes, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, it's when I was first diagnosed, it probably, I would say it probably took me about 4 weeks, because obviously it was a good while ago, and I thought, oh my God. And when you read the things, it's probably the best advice is not to read too much about the negative side effects.
It's quite confusing, isn't it? I mean, negative side effects, I do know quite a few, because as I say, my grandma had it. But for all of that, I think the worst thing about it is there's so many different websites, and actually an awful lot of the advice they give you is quite conflicting, I think. You know, to sort of get your head around it, I mean, it's quite hard, and that really is why I sent off for the Libre 2. It wasn't so I could talk about it on the show. It was because I need some information here, some sort of solid facts, because, you know, if you read, for example, like you said, what's got carbs in it, I've just Googled it while we've been talking. There are a few things in there I wouldn't immediately have thought of.
Yeah.
And without that information, you kind of can't tell, can you? So we'll see. That's my rather depressing piece of news of the week. But probably I had it coming, if I'm absolutely honest. When I think about it, set myself up a while ago.
I forget the number, but it's in the millions in the UK. Yeah. There are millions of people that don't know, literally don't know they've got it, and that is going to be a problem. If you don't sort it out, and the science,
of course, that's the key thing, isn't it? That I actually know I've got this problem now, it's kind of up to me to try and do something about it, and that is actually a massive advantage over where I was 3 weeks ago, even though it feels rather depressing.
I remember clearly. I've told the story many times how I found out, because the dog was diagnosed as having it. We bought a meter and I tested myself. The dog wasn't diabetic. I was, but I didn't have. I wasn't peeing a lot at night, or I was never thirsty particularly. I generally don't get thirsty. I have to force myself to drink, to be honest. It's a funny thing.
I have to go to the loo a lot at night, but what I have noticed over the last 9 months or so was that increasingly I would have to go once. And I was, to be honest, when I went for this medical, my plan was to talk to the doctor and say, you know, I know I don't enjoy a prostate test, but please do it.
Yeah.
And she sort of sat me down and started asking me other questions and said, well, I think the problem is actually you're diabetic, but we'll check it anyway. And said to me, no, your prostate is fine. So having a good prostate is better news than not. But I do need to get this under control. And I think, to be honest, knowing what I like eating and whatever, and the fact I do have a very sedentary lifestyle, it's going to be a proper challenge. But nonetheless, one I'm going to have to pick up and hobble with, if not run with.
Yeah, well, I think the key is not what would if you went into Apple Health right now and looked at your say weekly average, what are you running at steps wise?
Oh, God, wouldn't be very good. Hang on, let's find
it. It doesn't matter what it is now. It's what you can do.
What matters is increasing it, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, mine. I'll give you a clue. Mine for the year is only 6,800 anyway. So that is why I'm getting them up now. Because there's a huge jump, obviously, in March. And the problem is, you've got to accept that really between sort of November and February, you're not going to do many. You're not going to go out and do them. You've either got to get a treadmill or something like that in the house, you know.
I mean, the answer to your question is, it's about 5,300 in March. So
this is for the month. You're on the month tab, yeah. Are you? That's not at all terrible, because ultimately... mine for that month is 9,855, but that's because a lot of work has been put in the last 2 to 3 weeks. Most of that has been done.
What I can't tell is the reading that I got. I mean, obviously that's a single reading, so I guess it's probably have to be done again. But what I don't actually know is quite how bad that is. I mean, it's obviously into the range by a way.
Yeah.
But what I don't know is how bad it is and how much of an effort it's going to be to get it back into the right range. So
you have to remind me what the number was.
It was 55.
55. And do you know what that is in percentage? I think we did didn't we? I think we did the combination. Yeah. I'm sorry. Well, put it this way. Mine was 7. Let's do a quick conversion. Mine was 7.4. To MMOL, and 7.4 is 57.
Yeah, so it's a little bit below what yours was.
Is that right?
Probably 7.3, 7.4, isn't it, from the sounds of that?
Yeah, it's about 7.3. And mine, but by the way, don't forget mine. I got the text from the doctor's surgery, disgusted with it. The text to say, brilliant, carry on doing what you're doing. But what I'd been doing was absolutely terrible. And I'd gone from 6 point, I was 6.6 2 years ago. So, you know, they're not doing their job at all as far as I'm concerned. I'm really disappointed about that whole thing, really. So you know, you just got to be. It's not terrible. It's not terrible. If you look at some people's readings, then you know they are awful. But I don't think you've got as much to do as you think, really.
It's got to be got better. And the big problem is, like I say, there is a big project I'm working on at work. And when that project finishes. At the very least, I should be able to cut down to 2 or 3 days a week, and that was always my intention. But unfortunately, I kind of got to hang in there till about Christmas, because that's about how long it's going to be. So at least I've got the summer where I can get exercise at a time of day when it's okay, and maybe if I can get on with it now, I'll just have to grit my teeth in the autumn until the whole thing is finished. But it's not end of the day, it's not the news you wanted. But I actually think with all of these things, that information is a bit of power, isn't it? Because if I'd gone on for, I mean, what would have happened? It would have carried on getting worse, and presumably it would have been picked up at some point in the next 2 or 3 years, probably because either I was getting cataracts or something like that.
Mm.
So, yeah, not massively happy about it, but happier than not knowing. I think that's probably... You know, I mean, I think some of the comments I read in Ted's group, which I'm a bit of a coward when it comes to things medical. I'm not frightened of looking at things or reading about things, but what happens is I tend to be a bit hypochondriac about them afterwards.
Yeah.
So I've read it a bit, and I know he was quite sort of initially quite irritated about it. I think more irritated with what you've got to do. Well, yeah, I think I should probably be quite irritated with what I've got to do, but I'm just going to have to go and do it, aren't I?
I feel for Ted, because he hates walking. He doesn't like walking. I am genuinely at my happiest when I'm walking. It doesn't really matter. Yeah, it does.
I mean, around here, I've got a nice park to walk in. That's good. And it's got a really lovely wood in it. The only problem is, right at the moment, we've had so much rain, it's like, well, literally, you put your boot on the ground and you're going an inch under the mud.
Yeah.
So it's very hard work, and it requires a massive clean-up afterwards, and you can't really enjoy that. When we get a couple of dry weeks, it's absolutely beautiful. You can hear the birds singing. If the sun's out, it comes through the leaves when they're on the trees. It's easy to go for a walk on days like that.
Well,
whereas in the opposite direction, I've got a dual carriageway, and that isn't very nice to walk along at all.
No, so I started out walking last week, my day off. I started out walking in Bramford, which is drive to Bramford, really, because I can't really walk to Bramford. The road's too busy again. So I walked to this little village. I drive to this little village, park in the village car park, which is free. And I started walking, and I wasn't really equipped, because it said it wasn't going to rain, and it started raining reasonably heavily. And what I did was I jumped back in the car, and I, you know, you could have given up, you could have gone home. I drove 11 miles. I just headed for the bright sky, and I drove 11 miles to Alton Water, which is lovely, a lovely little reservoir. And I walked not all the way around it. I walked sort of 3.5-4 miles to the centre of it and back. Could have easily given up that day because I didn't have any sort of clothing on for it, and I'm not I don't want to walk in the rain, but what I particularly like walking is coast paths, and you know Ted is right there, he's literally outside his door, I think, can find a coast path.
I think I'm a bit stuffed on that.
Yeah, you're going a little way from the coast, really, but
let's put it this way, I use that most of the day getting to the coast, so it probably
you've got
is not going to work.
You've got canals near you. You can drive. I'm sure within half an hour you can drive to a canal. You can have a sensible. Yeah, you tie it in with a sensible lunch in the pub. Don't have chips. Have lots of. The thing is, I'd probably have lots of lean meat and chicken, really, because that's the way. To me, and if JB is listening to this, he'll probably kill me. But to me, eating less carbs is almost as, if not more, important than losing the weight.
I mean, to see, one of the things that I'm a bit depressed about, I have a weight issue. And actually, I think I probably know what the weight is mostly made of. It's probably bread and cheese, which I love. So, and I also know, looking at them, this is not good news from that point of view. But, you know, I don't eat sweets. We don't have biscuits in the house.
Yeah.
I always choose fish or chicken. I don't eat pies, you know. So actually, I rather fear the only way I do this is burning more calories, and that's going to be quite a long haul, you know. So, We'll see.
You can either eat. You can either eat less calories or. What I would say is generally don't worry about fish and chicken. If you want a gammon, you want steak. You want, you know, any meat, no meats have got any carbs in them. So to me, you just got to be careful, obviously, of the calories that they give you. But lean meats, generally, if you have a gammon with a huge inch of fat all round it and you eat that, which I think would be disgusting anyway, then it's going to be exactly. It's going to be no good for you anyway. People do, of course. But, you know, generally speaking, meat is, if you're a vegetarian, that really would be a challenge, I think. Although, of course, there are, a lot of vegetarian products, of course, are bulked up with cereal and things. And breakfast cereals, you know, there's virtually no healthy breakfast cereal, ironically.
I currently have a box of Special K, and it's going to be like the last box of Special K. And I think I've got a box of muesli, and that's going to be the last box of muesli. But, you know, I think the thing is, if I can get it back under control, then you can have the occasional thing that's okay. And that's that's when these things in your arm are a godsend, because you can say, right, I've had my treat now, and that's it, sort of thing.
That's precisely. Yeah, that's precisely
it. It's a daily thing or something. I mean, I don't, you know, I like a cake, but I should think I have no more than one cake a month at that. And actually, more often than not, that's when I go and see my mum, who loves making cakes. Well, I might start a conversation with her and say, look, better lay off for a bit.
How much fibre do you get in a day? Any idea?
I would have thought pretty good because I eat a lot of high fibre things, but I don't know, is the honest answer. I mean, one of the things I'm going to do later this morning is I think probably sign up for something like MyFitnessPal for a few months and get a better grip on what's actually going in, because at the moment I don't, I'd like to think mostly what I eat is pretty good. You know, we eat things like brown rice, wholemeal bread, all of those sorts of things. So it ought to be okay, but maybe it's not. Maybe that's a failing that's got to be looked at.
Right,
JB is going to tell a pair of us to bang out.
Probably, probably. Don't get MyFitnessPal. It's a rip off now. Get NutriCheck calorie counter. It's a picture of an apple. It's a picture of an apple with the words NutriCheck in it, and its actual app name is Calorie Counter. I don't think you even need to pay for it. For some reason, mine thinks I've got a full. I think you might have to pay something, but
start a 7-day free trial now.
Yeah. Start that and use that for 7 days. See what you think. You can essentially change the columns to read calories, fat, saturated fat, carbs, sugar, fiber, protein, and salt. Until you start tracking these things, you have no idea. I start each day with a goal of 30 grams. I have 150 grams of raspberries every single day. That's about 10 straight away. For breakfast today, I had a bacon sandwich with two pieces of incredibly high fiber bread. That gave me 6.1 grams of fiber. Then had a fiber one bar afterwards. That gave me another 5.9 grams of fiber. So I'm already up to about 12.5 grams of fiber. I'll have my raspberries later. That'll take me to 22. I just need some peas or beans with my dinner and I'll be job done.
Away you go. Yeah, I think, you know, I don't want to sort of say, well, I'll throw money at this and that and the other, but on the other hand, you're dead a long time, aren't you? So if it's a case of, well, for a time at least, I've got to spend some money getting... I think, to be honest, I guess lots of people would say this as well. I'm never really bothered about what I eat. It's never been a real problem to me. Mm. And in terms of weight, well, the honest truth is I've been overweight pretty much all of my life. That's never really bothered me. But I think, unfortunately, at the grand old age of 63, it's going to have to start bothering me, or it's going to start being something that has a pretty bad effect on me long term. So, yeah.
You can probably say the reason you got the diabetes was the weight you were carrying. It was certainly my reason. I was carrying a couple of stone too much.
And to be honest, Kev, I think I feel most about it is I feel cross with myself because I frankly ought to have bloody well realised. But there you go.
Yeah, with a lot of things, my mum, long been dead. My mum's day, by the way, it was called sugar diabetes. It literally was called sugar diabetes.
It was in my grandma's day.
Yeah. And she would see me eating these sweets and she would say, you're going to get sugar diabetes. And I'm like, yeah, all right, whatever. And she was right. She was right. It's just, you, as you say, you got to just... you just got to just face up to it. Anyway, people will be getting bored of medical stuff, I reckon.
I was going to say, we're going to have to rename this medical tech to deteriorate we're going. So let's look at what else. What else have you been playing with in the store lately? There's some new gadgets coming.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing of any interest, really, is there? You know, everything is much the same and nothing's really changed. I can announce that I'm done with the Pixel now. In the last couple of weeks, I'm just done with it. I think it's come about actually through. Oh, just quickly before I forget, I just remembered you cannot with Libre, you cannot directly add it to Apple Health, which in a way is not a bad thing because it's so wildly inaccurate at the top end, it would give you a false reading. You almost don't need to add it to Apple Health because it's got its own reporting and stuff. You can add Dexcom to Apple Health.
But didn't you just say you can't get at most of this reporting?
With Libre in the app, you can get to daily patterns, time in range, low events, average glucose. My average glucose for the 30 days. By the way, you asked for a number. My average for the last 30 days is 7.9 mmol/L.
7.9 MMOL overall. So at 55, yeah. I'm not doing too well on that score, am I?
So those figures are, yeah, I mean, it's... Yeah, it's hard to say. I mean, I've been working hard at this and putting a lot of miles in. Literally in March, I've done 53 miles of walking. So, right. You know, a total. So I've become a little bit obsessed with walking. I can't lie. But it's led.
That's not much more than 2 miles a day, is it?
Yeah, absolutely. Exactly. That's the point. Which in actual fact, that's more impressive if I tell you that March really only started. If I look at the graph, it only really started on about the 10th or 11th, because that's when I got serious about this particularly. But yeah, it's. That's the point, though. Just do it slowly and steadily, you know. Actually, I can't work out how 53 miles would be right, because I've averaged roughly 5 miles. I think, actually, to be fair, I think 10,000 steps for me isn't 5 miles. It's about 4.3 or something like that. Because obviously everyone's stride is different you're not going to have the same thing. But I have to look into that, actually. Yeah, the Pixel. So I take it to work every day. I have moved my main SIM into the iPhone. The problem I had with using the iPhone hotspot has completely disappeared by the notion that as soon as Apple release, like they did this week, the little monkeys, they released 17.4.1. As soon as they release that, I go to the front of the store with the iPhone. I only really bother about 6 or 7 devices, because that's what we set up mostly. So typically it'll be the iPad 9th and 10th gen. It'll be the iPhone 13, 14 and 15. I don't really bother about having the other IPSWs on file, because we very rarely set those up. Generally, the Pros and the iPad Pros, people who are buying them don't need us to set them up. So, you know, it takes me on average a 7.8 gigabyte file at the front of the store with the iPhone or the Pixel, but with the iPhone in particular. Takes around about 3 minutes on average to get 7.7 gigabytes. So I'll go downstairs and I'll do a couple, then I'll go back to my office and then I'll go and do a couple more. I can get them done all in the same day. I then plug the iPhone into the T7 and then I copy them off the iPhone onto the T7, plug the T7 into the little laptop, little Surface that we use, and Bob's your uncle, they're on there. So I don't really need... anymore to be able to do that. I tried as an experiment, because I needed to get them all again quickly on Friday, because Apple released it in the afternoon, I think, and I'm off for the weekend. I want to get them on the laptop for the chap that's in this weekend, make his job easier. So I had to get them quickly, so I thought, I know what I'll do. I'll hook the Pixel up to the iPhone via the hotspot, and I'll download one on each. And that didn't work at all. It was crawling on the Pixel for some reason, the hook up to the hotspot. Bottom line is, I'm not using the Pixel anymore. My problem with the Pixel is, the reason I haven't even moved it on is, when I look at what Pixel Pros are going for, clearly the Pixel's not going to be worth a lot of money. So my thinking is along the lines of one last Kev special draws, see if anyone is interested in bunging a tenner in. And I haven't worked out the details yet, but I'll stick it on Twitter probably, or I don't know where I'll stick it. I'll put it somewhere, and see if anyone's interested, and see if I can get a decent amount of money for it via that. Then I'll move it on, but I certainly won't sell it for like 200 or 300 quid or whatever, which I'm guessing at the moment it wouldn't fetch much more than 450 or something, if that, probably.
I mean, I've seen 8 Pros go into that sort of price. So
yeah, I don't necessarily think that's a fair comparison, because a lot of people won't want the 8 Pro. I wouldn't want an 8 Pro. I just don't ever want a phone that big again, I'm afraid. So a lot of people wouldn't be looking at the 8 and the 8 Pro. They would be specifically looking at the 8. But I think they came down. I think Google have got an offer on them at the moment, sort of thing. But, you know, at the end of the day, a lot of people wouldn't pay 500 quid for it, but 50 people might put a tenner into a draw and have a 50-to-1 shot at winning one. People seem to enjoy them. Hopefully another one won't get me locked up. I think all I've got to do to make it completely legal is have someone guess a ridiculously simple question, to be honest.
I think that's literally
all I have to do, I think, from looking at all these houses and drawers that go on the internet, and you just have to guess what colour is this car and a picture of the car.
I think the answer is we have a very dormant Tech Talk UK MeWe thing, don't we?
Do we?
I certainly did do, didn't we?
I don't know, maybe it's,
but we could set one up called Kev's Drawers.
That's probably what I do, because I'll open it up. You know, it was transparent. I use the lottery to draw it, so it can't be sort of manipulated, or not that I would, but you know. So yeah, we'll have a go at that. I think. Well, I'll think about it and think about. I'm sure we can get. Cause to be fair, a lot of people buy two or three tickets anyway, so I think we'd only potentially only need 25 people to bung in a 20 quid each. You know, and people sort of see it as a way of helping me as well. So generally, we'll just see how that goes. So that's going. I just don't want to carry two phones anymore, to be honest with you. I'll have two SIMs in the iPhone, and Bob's your uncle, really. I mean, it's just not that important to me anymore, I suppose.
Yeah,
and I don't particularly. Whenever I look at the Pixel, I can't. It's like the if you look at the. I don't think the Libre is too bad on the Pixel, but when you look at Dexcom, it doesn't. You know, Dexcom with the iPhone works with the Apple Watch, doesn't work with any Android watches at all. The development always seems to be behind iPhone. Nothing's really changed on that front, really. And half the time I find that the text is too small for me on the Pixel, and if I whack the text up, it looks ridiculous on other sites. So with the iPhone, I can go in per app and change it. Not that I've had to lately, because they always seem to get the same old thing. They always seem to get the fonts absolutely bang on. But it's no big deal. I could live with either. But I am now totally committed into the Apple ecosystem, I think, to be honest. Well, not the ecosystem particularly, because I still use Gmail, Google Photos, and, you know, I'm still into
it's
Google.
A strange thing, isn't it? I use almost everything Google, but on an iPhone.
Yeah.
And in fact, I was thinking the other day, you know, I still enjoy my other phones. I mean, I'm really enjoying the Magic V2. It is an incredible device. And the battery technology is just amazing, because it's a new type of battery. I'm trying to remember what it is now. Silicon carbon, is it? Something like that. But the battery lasts for ages and ages. It charges really, really fast, even on an ordinary charger. And it lasts so much. And the device itself is great. For my liking, it's got one big fault, and that is that it's capable of taking a very good picture, but you never know where it's going to focus next. The focus on the camera really needs some work on it. But to watch programs on it, fantastic. When I was away last, I was watching some stuff I downloaded on iPlayer. The sound is fine. I really, really like it. But
yeah.
But I know what you mean. You kind of think, well, everything, so much is Apple. I mean, that I suppose does bring us on to a tech story of the week, doesn't it? And that is that the US Congress has accused Apple of running an illegal monopoly, which is not a great piece of news.
You can. What makes you think it's election year in the States, eh?
Yes, I think that's probably true. I mean, it's also got to be said, I'm not entirely sure it's fair comment, because nobody forces you to buy an iPhone. Sure, if you want an Apple Watch, you need an iPhone, don't you? But why would you buy an Apple Watch before you bought an iPhone? I can't think of a reason.
Yeah.
I mean, I've said before, the iPhone and the Apple Watch in many ways does keep me tied into an iPhone, so I suppose they have a point there. But on the other hand, I could say, sod it, you know, I'll go and buy myself a Galaxy Watch and a Samsung, and that would work okay with my Apple Mac. But I don't know. I mean, in the day, Apple's in business to make a profit.
The bottom line is, a lot of people online, you know, absolutely loving this whole thing. They'd hate it if it was their favourite product or whatever, but they're absolutely loving it. And it's another thing. It's another thing that the governments all over the world are doing, and they're trying to literally get people fighting each other to take their minds off how badly things are going generally, I think.
Things are, absolutely.
And I think that's a common thing. There was a time a few years ago when I would have defended Apple to the hilt on this, but now, I mean, I almost dread listening to any of the Leo shows next week, especially the bloody Tuesday Mac show, because that Alex bloke on there is going to be unbearable. Defending Apple.
The big advantage over you, Kev, that I have never listened to any of Leo's shows for more than about 10 minutes before I run screaming from the room, so it's not going to be a problem to me.
Yeah, and the thing is, at the end of the day, Apple have got, I don't know, Apple possibly have more money than the American government, I don't know. Certainly.
Kev, can I tell you something? You have got more money than the American government.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
Absolutely dust beyond belief.
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely. I mean, they just raise the debt ceiling every few months, don't they? So,
yeah.
You know, ultimately, it's obviously a big story, and that's what it's designed to do, isn't it? It's just weird that it's the Democrats going after it as well as the... But then they're both agreed on the fact they're going to ban TikTok. They don't know why they're going to ban TikTok, but they're going to ban TikTok.
Or they're going to force its sale to an American company, which doesn't seem to me to be a wholesale.
Yeah. No,
less fair and open than anything else. But
perhaps they'll let Apple buy it. You know, who knows? That would probably be fine. I think what they can do what they like. As far as I'm concerned, I could happily use my iPhone for another 5 years without downloading another single app. Anyway, I would never download anything on the iPhone outside the App Store. They can do whatever they want.
There's a question for you. Let's say that we have a situation where Apple is forced to open app stores in the UK in the same way as it has been in the EU. And I know there's a lot of noises being made about, well, you know, okay, now we're only paying 25% or whatever. It's not actually been any more open than the absolute minimum they needed it to be. Well, that's not a surprise, is it? And indeed, if it were your business, would you make it any more open than it needed to be? But would you use a different app store?
I would not, no.
No, and for that matter, neither would I, because I think Apple does have a point there. Well, I'm prepared to trust Apple to scan apps properly to make sure there's not a nasty in there.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean it's necessarily automatically going to happen, but I do know two or three developers, and they all go, Apple are much more strict than any of the others.
Yeah.
And this has happened with Google several times, hasn't it? Nasty apps with hidden payloads. That get in there. So in the same way as I wouldn't put a banking app on an Android phone, it probably is being overcautious, but I wouldn't do it.
It's happened to Apple as well, actually. They have had a few get through. Probably less. I've got both my banks on Android, but I don't think I... Just trying to remember if I've ever opened them on Android, to be honest. I don't know that I have particularly. They're just on there, you know. I don't think I've ever really used them on there, to be fair. You will be charging your iPhone more, mind, once you get your Libre in there. That really does hammer the battery, so be prepared for that, although you don't run yours at 92% brightness, I guess. So
I don't even know what it's doing at the moment, actually. It's probably at about 50% brightness at the moment.
Yeah, I'm going to try and wean myself off the brightness if I can, to some extent, I think. I don't find I've got a lot to say on the Apple story, really, because it's just confusing, really. The whole thing is confusing. It's meant to be the land of the free and don't want any regulation of anything. And they won't regulate bloody, you know, places like Twitter and stuff, which really need it because it's ripping the country apart. But they want to go after a private company. And that goes for any private company, TikTok or anyone, you know, at the end of the day. Why are they going after them? Here's something to discuss. How the hell is Truth Social worth $3
billion? $3 billion, yeah.
How is that? Where has that come from?
it's going to save his bacon, isn't it?
Well, really? where has it come from? I don't understand what's created that. I do not know how they've suddenly thought, who's paying this $3 billion for it?
Okay, I can tell you the answer to that. They've got a company in the States that has $3 billion, yeah?
Okay.
And it has a stock market listing as well. And basically, they said to Trump, we'd like to effectively have you put your Truth Social into this. Actually, they've got more than $3 million. And in return, you get a proportion of the shares.
Okay.
So the effect of that will be that Trump will then have a whole load of quoted shares, because at the moment, the company's just sitting there with cash and not doing anything. The only thing is, as far as we can gather, the agreement requires that he can't sell any for 6 months, although he could apply to have that restriction lifted. So basically, he's swapping to Truth Social for a pile of cash, presumably because these people are either supporters of his or think they can make something out of it, which, given the mess that's been made of X, is quite possible, isn't it? You know, there is. I mean, let's put it this way. You've got Blue Sky, you've got Threads, you've got there's at least one more alternative Twitter out there. Why not Truth Social, I suppose, is their logic.
Yeah, I mean, I thought when Tweetbot went away, I thought I'd miss the hell out of Twitter, but I really don't give a monkey's. I use it tiny amounts now. What has been proven, I've got drawn into a little rabbit hole of YouTube videos, because once you watch one, obviously the algorithm shows you lots more. Basically, left-wing American channels going to Trump rallies and showing how stupid these people are generally. And there's no secret there, because he stands up on stage and mocks disabled people and says, oh, we love the poorly educated. And, you know, he mocks them, but they are literally so dumb, they don't know that he's mocking them. But they have money. These people have money. They're older folks and they have money, and they've all spent a fortune on his crappy merch and stuff. So there is definitely money to be made out of it. There's absolutely no doubt about that. And it's all a grift at the end of the day, isn't it?
Well, I mean, viewed from outside the US, I think it's very hard as a phenomenon to understand. But then we had not dissimilar from Boris, did we? With his oven-ready deal and whatever, which wasn't ready and has left us with all sorts of trade problems. But, you know, it's hard to know. I know when I was over in the States last year, I was talking to the taxi driver there, and I think that's always a slightly dodgy thing to do because it's not your country, you're a visitor. And I just said, how is it he's so popular? Because looked at from perspective, he doesn't come over as a very nice guy at all, and he makes all sorts of comments that, you know, most people would find quite difficult. And the response was quite astonishing. He goes, yeah, but the reason for that is he's a businessman, he's not a politician, so therefore he doesn't think carefully about what he's saying. And I was thinking, you're trying to tell me a guy who's run for president 3 times is not a politician, but they obviously fall for it. So, who knows what?
It's very hard to
know, isn't it? So,
I guess so. And on that bombshell, I think we're going to have to bring this to an end, because I am off for a little bit of lunch. Yeah, going out today.
Hopefully, folks, the sound is a bit better this week. We have started working on trying to improve it, although I think part of the problem there really has been that we tend to record it at your end and not share it all. So I need to spend some time with audio. Audacity, let's get it right.
Audacity, yeah. We just need to...
We need to see if we can tweak it, because there's no obvious... When we're talking, I think Kev would say, I sound fine, don't I? It's just
I mean, generally, I think... the criticism that was coming in last month was... seemed a bit over the top, really. I didn't necessarily find the audio brilliant, but I didn't think it was appalling or anything. Mine's always going to sound better because it's recorded locally.
It's recorded in your own, exactly.
And this morning we tried to do Audacity, once I plug the microphone into the Mac, I can't hear Richard because obviously,
obviously cut it off.
It cuts off the headphones.
We can work on that. I had my end was that it didn't seem to matter what I adjusted. The levels were still very, 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 very low.
Yeah, really weird, wasn't it?
I don't know. But, I mean, at the end of the day, it's a problem that we're looking at. I think we should make a promise that next time, we won't talk entirely about medical tech, although, unfortunately, I think it's going to be kind of in the front of my mind for a little while.
Yeah, and I think I don't think people mind particularly. And, I mean, to be honest, I don't know what I would have talked about today if we didn't have that. If I'm brutally frank, because I don't know about you, I don't particularly want to get the show into the realms of let's talk about the Apple thing, because I really don't have any interest in it at all.
No, I don't particularly either. I can think of a few things I might have talked about, but none of them are very sort of earth-shattering. And right. And I think as far as this is concerned, one of the joys, I suppose, from our point of view, and also one of the weaknesses from the listener's point of view, is it very much comes down to us talking, and what we get onto tends to be what's important to us at the moment. And I think I'm just beginning to realise just what a jolt to my system this needs to be, and I say that that's you know, it makes you sound particularly stupid, doesn't it? Really, I've got a grandmother who had diabetes. I really ought to have had this on my horizon. So have I stuck my head in the sand? Well, not particularly. I guess it's just like everybody else. You get on with your day-to-day life and don't give it enough thought in the way that you perhaps ought to. So if anybody else is you know, in the misfortune of getting up in the middle of the night more often than they might do, or thirsty or tired, that's the other thing. And I went to my GP 9 months ago and said, you know, I don't feel quite right. And they did a load of blood tests and then my blood sugar was all right then, but it probably was already on the way up. It may well be the reason I fell a bit off colour for a few months. There's nothing. So it's looking for a piece of wood promptly. Nothing else I know of that's not right at the minute. So just a bit of a case of absorbing that. And I fear you might get a certain amount of my experiences of it.
Yeah, absolutely. Equally, and you're going to be offered, once it's confirmed, you're going to be offered metformin. I know there's a lot of reluctance. Ted is very reluctant to take it. Mine was obviously pretty bad when I started. I think the first ever finger prick test that I did when we were doing the dog and we had these things left over, memory fades, but I think it was 18 or something, 17, 18, just on the first one. And I remember going to the doctors and saying, oh, I need you to do whatever's necessary because I'm diabetic. And he sort of laughed and said, how do you know that? And I told him the story. And he basically just had me pee on a stick, essentially. And based on that, he said, yeah, you are diabetic. We still need to send your bloods off to just get how bad it is, you know, and stuff like that. So it goes back there, and you don't realise. But I don't know. Like I said, generally, the best thing to remember, I would take the metformin if he offers it. I don't think I even had anything for a couple of weeks. I think you might get a bit of wind for a couple of weeks, but you get that if you eat a big old tin of beans. So, you know, I can only imagine imagine Dave Rich's house, you know, because he has about 8 tins of beans per day. So I don't know how the hell, you know, that works out. But, and that's the other side benefit of getting your fibre up to 30 grams a day. That effect soon wears off and you only have it for a couple of weeks. So anyway,
I'm going to find out about this, but I suspect it probably is. But anyway, we'll find out. So
on that note...
More medical disasters in a fortnight's time, I hope not. I don't need anything else to contend with. And I hope you have a great lunch. And
indeed, we shall try. And we'll be back in a fortnight. That will do nicely. Thank you, folks. We'll see you in a fortnight.